states. You know, zero tolerance for schooling while black. Enter Hugh McInnish. As I said, arch Republican. And he's upset with the Department of Justice. You want a picture of white Southern conservative right-wing hubris? Hugh McInnish called a press conference at his gated community, and he announced the crafting or writing of a letter last week to the Department of Justice. And this was one of those crazy moments. This was one of those, how much coverage has this gotten in Alabama media? It would be interesting to ask Matt Osborne that question. But he set about offering proof that the racial disparity that exists in Huntsville and Madison County schools isn't, in his words, man-made. He had charts. He had graphs. He had 8x10 glossy color photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, as the song says. One of the graphs he whipped out was a chart showing that, quote, well, it showed the black crime rate as a multiple of the white crime rate. Hugh McInnish's chart showed, attempted to prove that black people commit more than six times the violent crime of white people overall, and that they commit about eight times as many murders as white people and more than 14 times as many robberies. Then he went on to the issue of advanced classes. He said the gap between white and black students' participation in advanced courses in high school has nothing to do with the fact that black students aren't afforded the chance. No. Hugh McInnish said that the gap exists because black students are not able to perform as well in advanced classes. Yeah, he said, really, this is a quote. Blacks misbehave on average more frequently than whites do. That's his explanation to the Department of Justice. You know, we were talking about, and I bring up this story because we were talking about the passing of generations. God! When is that gene for stupid, pig-headed, utterly unintellectual bigotry going to pass out of the white gene, of the white person? Pink person, really, when you get down to it. The pasty person. When's that going to go away? Because it's not showing just a hell of a lot of signs of letting up, especially if you look at the Republican Party. Oh, no, it's just them Negro students, they misbehave more. That's because they only come out of the jungle a couple of centuries ago. We ain't had the civilizing influence on them yet. Man, it takes a ton of brass to hold a press conference talking about poor black kids who aren't afforded the opportunity to take freaking calculus at the gates of your gated community. Here's the fun part. Guess where he got all his statistics? There's a self-styled think tank out there called the New Century Foundation. And what they do is they push a brand of academic racism. Their mission statement says that they are dedicated to the, quote, to the ideal of the United States as a white European nation. They publish a magazine called American Renaissance. and it frequently contains articles on eugenics. Selective breeding to improve human genetic stock. And they're out there constantly hustling this study of theirs called The Color of Crime. Hint, it ain't pasty, doughy, white, or pink, that color of crime. Welcome. Welcome to the Repiglican Party. But don't for an instant think that this is something endemic to the South. This is all over the place. Here, let's just read the letter. It's written to Ms. Allison R. Brown, trial attorney, U.S. Department of Justice, Civil Rights Division, Washington, D.C. Dear Ms. Brown, your letter of 16 February to Mr. J.R. Brooks concerning the Huntsville schools has been widely circulated, and a copy has fallen into my hands. May I have your permission to offer you a few comments? Since you don't know me, I will briefly introduce myself. I am neither a lawyer nor an educator, but a retired engineer. Oh, Jesus, all the engineers of the audience are going, "Not us!" Although retired, I still do some consulting work. My interest in the schools is as a parent, a grandparent, and above all, as a very concerned citizen. See, what he's concerned about is that somebody may drop a rock on Huntsville and make some of their precious little majority white schools have some more of those misbehaving Negroes. I've lived in Huntsville since 1964. Retired engineer. What do you want to bet he worked at NASA? That's where most of your engineers work in Huntsville, because it's the home of the Redstone Arsenal. As I proceed, I believe that you will see that for better or worse, my viewpoint will be a new one. Really? Racism's new? Well, bust my buttons. Some of my words, though not so intended, will perhaps be offensive to some, but they must be said. No, they mustn't. No, they don't need to be said any more than God hates dead soldiers or any of that other silly horse shit from the Westboro Baptist thugs. It's all thuggery. My comments will be concentrated on the subjects of student assignment and student discipline. No, this is just too good. In regards to course offerings, you point out that White Challenger Middle School had students enrolled in 29 sections of advanced programming, while Black Davis Hills Middle School had only 9 enrolled. You then compared predominantly white Hampton Cove Middle with predominantly black Ed White Middle. The first had 31 advanced, and the last had 14. An advanced programming course is bound to be challenging, and for which only those with the most ability and preparation are suited. Jesus, this is antediluvian. This is the old black folk can't be doctors because, God! Well, black folk can't be no pilots. And it is certainly true that mathematical ability and proficiency in reading is a good measure of such. The chart below shows the two pairs of schools which you compare. Note that the black-white gap in math is, in each of the pairs, about 50 percentile points, and in reading, about 45. It is altogether plausible that this gap accounts for the differences in the number of advanced programming courses offered. Being called advanced means that it is not for the ordinary student, but for the exceptional student. Man, you can feel it coming off the page. The exceptional white student. So then we get the chart, and the photographs with the circles and the arrows and the paragraph on the back of each one. Turning to the high schools, you make comparisons among Grissom, Huntsville, and Butler, pointing out the differences between the enrollment numbers in the advanced courses between predominantly white Grissom and Huntsville on the one hand and predominantly black Butler on the other. The chart below is pertinent to this point. It shows the percentage of students at each school who scored in achievement level 4, the highest achievement level as measured by the Alabama Reading and Math Test. Since these are the most advanced students, it is only logical that those selected for advancement courses would come mostly, if not entirely, from among them. As the chart shows, we can only spec a few students from Butler to be selected for advanced courses. Just a few. And bear in mind these little bar graph. God almighty. It's these huge, huge bars. And then Butler's down there. It's like, God damn, you can hardly tell there's a graph there. This is racism in America. No, it's not our fault them people can't learn. I mean, there ain't no sense in trying to teach somebody something that they're constitutionally incapable of learning now, is there? Finally, there are the elementary schools. Here you compare the relatively high numbers of students in 5 largely white schools enrolled in advanced courses with the smaller numbers in largely black Lakewood and Rolling Hills. You will probably anticipate what I might say here, and I will spare you the needless redundancy. The chart below makes the point similar to that I've made regarding the elementary and high schools. Anything to perpetuate bigotries and hatreds that are approaching a half of an effing millennium old. A half a millennium! You know, I was on the cruise, and we would go ashore in the Caribbean, and I would see all these beautiful black faces. And I couldn't, and it's just because of the way I am with history. I thought, my God, somewhere back in time, your ancestors suffered a miserable existence, but they still managed to hang on. And that's why you're here. And when does it get better? Of course, largely the get better question was asked in the Virgin Islands because it was a U.S. Virgin Island. But of the nastiness, and I ascribe this to none of the people who were a part of the Progressive Voices cruise, but I heard plenty of people from that very large ship being very rude to the brown people who served us, and ruder still to the black people on shore. It's this kind of stuff that kind of gives you a grim sense of, no, there ain't a hell of a lot of hope here for the American South and for America writ large. Because I don't know. You know, Sandra and I were discussing questions, and I kept going, I don't know. And I don't know what it takes to rub this kind of disgusting hatred out of our society. In brief, there's no evidence that opportunities are being denied blacks. And the leap from the observation of the number of black participants to the conclusion that the numbers prove a lack of opportunity is a non sequitur of monumental proportions. That word. He keeps using that word. I don't think it means what he thinks it means. It's not a non sequitur. If you don't provide the opportunity for a kid to take calculus, the kid can't take calculus. You know, it's not like the old rubric about a million Republicans and a million typewriters and one of them will eventually write Hamlet. It's a bit much to ask a 17-year-old to come up with the calculus or the physics. but not in the mind of Hugh McInnish. I turn now to discussion of student discipline. You correctly state that there are significant racial disparities in student discipline throughout the district, with black students bearing the weight of these disparities. But disparity does not equal unfairness. And once again, we have a non sequitur. That word. You have given no evidence that the procedure for enforcing discipline is more harsh or more lenient toward one race or the other. Nor have you cited any specific case in which the discipline has been unfair. Sometimes a good horse whipping is just what a body needs. Hey, he's got more charts. Disparities between black and white adults being disciplined for serious crimes. Not discipline infractions inside the Huntsville City Schools, but some sort of BS analysis from his racist pals. All violent crimes, murder, manslaughter, rape, sex, yeah. His chart says sex ass, sexual assault, and robbery. I'm sure he got a, look at that. Look at that, Mildred. I got sex ass on the chart I'm sending to the Department of Justice. Hoo-wee! I got one over on them. He cites Richard Posner. You know who Richard Posner is? Yeah, go look it up. That ought to tell you plenty about this freak. My closing comment will be directed to one of your closing comments. Near the end of your letter, you write, during my visit to the district in 2007, parents and students and community members complained about the HVAC at Johnson High School and the lack of air conditioning there. It is ironic and amusing that this is the single concrete example you offer of something amiss. You're probably much younger than I am. Most people are these days. Ho, 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 ho. That's a real knee slapper, that is. It's a joke, son, a joke. So your experiences will not track mine, but when I was in school, the very thought of an air-conditioned classroom, if anyone was capable of such a thought, would have been preposterous. Even in college, I only looked and only enjoyed such a luxury the last term before I graduated. To cite such a trivial fault looks to me like an admission of the paucity of substantive issues. Welcome to America in the 21st century. Really, can you believe it? Can you believe it? 21st century. Segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation forever! Woof, huh? Hey, I gotta get out of here. Bye, y'all. Kinda let it all slip by me. Rick Smith is next. See ya! But always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.
In with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's Thursday, and time to begin. I'm Bob. This is The Horn, in case you didn't know. If you've never heard it before, by all means, welcome. Welcome to our little community. Welcome to our little family of committed liberals, progressives, and otherwise decent people. You'll notice I didn't mention conservatives or teabaggers. I'm not going to do a lot of shilly-shallying about. I want you to hear this. This is what hate, filthy, stinking, disgusting hate sounds like. County, California. That is Sunday, February the 13th, 2011. Your Belinda, California. Whatever could inspire such hateful, hateful responses? Whatever could possibly do it? What could prompt organizations like a local Tea Party group called We Surround Them OC912. What could prompt Rabbi David Elezri of Chabad, Yorba Linda, North Orange County Conservative Coalition, and Act for America and Pamela Geller, to name just a few? What could prompt them to such vociferous, malignant hate? Festooned with American flags, what could possibly cause them to behave in such a fashion? My God, what could they possibly be so angry about? They were there in their hundreds on February 13th, 2011. In their hundreds. Right-wingers, bigots, xenophobes. Christians. Hardline right-wing Jews. Standing together screaming, "Go back home! Go back home!" What could possibly get them so unutterably upset? And with the hatred pouring out of them like a mighty sewer, what could move elected members of the government locally in Orange County and members of Congress to attend and say things like this?
And to say, "I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you're doing. I'm proud of this country and what we believe in. And let's not let people who disagree with destroy it. God bless you. Thank you for being here."
Don't let people who disagree with this destroy it? What?
I'm going to say this too. A big part of the problem that we face today is that our children have been taught in schools that every idea is right, that no one should criticize others' positions, no matter how odious. And what do we call that? They call it multiculturalism. And it has paralyzed too many of our fellow citizens to make the critical judgment we need to make to prosper as a society.
Let me tell you what's going on over there right now. Make no bones about it. That is pure, unadulterated evil. I don't even care if you think I'm crazy anymore. Because I have a beautiful daughter. I have a wonderful 19-year-old son who's a United States Marine. As a matter of fact, I know quite a few Marines who will be very happy to help these terrorists to an early meeting in paradise.
These terrorists. What's going on over there is absolute evil. The woman speaking that was Republican Villa Park Councilwoman Deborah Pawley. That's who you heard after Representative Ed Royce, Repiglican of California. That's who you heard after Representative Gary Miller, Repiglican of California, at this hate rally. What would possibly... were they? You don't know? What would cause them to boo and scream and catcall at a woman carrying her child in her arms into a building? What would cause that? What would bring that on? Such hate. Such vile, vile, disgusting hate. What could possibly engender such an outpouring of loathing and violent threats? What could possibly do that? It was a fundraiser held in Orange County, California, by the Islamic Circle of North America. It was a fundraiser. No, it wasn't a fundraiser to help spread Sharia law across the United States and take away our good God-fearing Judeo-Christian heritage. No, it wasn't. No. That over there is pure evil was a fundraiser for a women's shelter. A fundraiser for women who had been battered by spouses, boyfriends, and other family members. That is what those God-fearing, patriotic Americans were screaming, "Go back home!" over. Another beneficiary of the fundraiser was, of course, the homeless of Southern California. If it wasn't in English, you would swear you were listening to something from Germany in the mid-1930s. wouldn't you? Charity. Charity. Philanthropy. Giving in the name of helping women who are in most desperate straits. Because after all, most women stay in abusive relationships because they have nowhere to go. And thus, following their holy book, the Quran, these Muslim members of the community, with babes in arms, attended a fundraiser. And hundreds, we're not talking about a little clique of freaks, such as when the Westboro Baptist gang goes to protest a funeral. We're talking about hundreds of ravenous, rabid, slobbering teabaggers, right-wingers, screaming imprecations at them. The Muslim holy book says things like this. You shall give the due alms to the relatives, the needy, the poor, and the traveling alien. But don't be excessive or extravagant. Eat from their fruits and give the due alms on the day of harvest. They ask you about giving, say, the charity you give shall go to the parents, the relatives, the orphans, the poor, and the traveling alien. Any good you do, God is fully aware thereof. Charities shall go to the poor, the needy, the workers who collect them, the new converts to free the slaves, to those burdened by sudden expenses, in the cause of Allah, and to the traveling alien. Such is God's commandment. God is omniscient and most wise. Who believe in the unseen, observe the contact prayers, and from our provisions to them, they give to charity. Following their faith, these members of the Islamic Circle of North America had a fundraiser for battered women and for the homeless and the traveling alien, as the book says. And that was decried by Villa Park Councilwoman Deborah Pauley as pure evil. Of the mothers carrying babes in arms into the fundraiser, she said, I know quite a few Marines who will be willing to help these terrorists to an early meeting in paradise. And guess what? I don't know how I would respond to something this awful. But if I were one of the people attending that fundraiser, I would be right scared. Because right-wingers and teabaggers and the like are a bloodthirsty lot. They proved it. I might even go so far, were I one of them, to say that these gangs of bigoted xenophobic thugs had intentionally inflicted upon me emotional distress. But thanks to the Supreme Court of the United States, including corrupt thugs like Clarence Thomas and John Roberts, Anthony Kennedy, and Fat Tony Scalia, they can't sue. They can't sue. Because that hate, that outpouring of vicious, fang-dripping vitriol was deemed just yesterday by the Supreme Court of the United States to be protected speech. That incitement, that hate, is protected in this country. Isn't that stunning? Proof, further proof, that the Supreme Court of the United States has no clue what the First Amendment means or is about. The First Amendment was never crafted as, bless his pointy little head, Samuel Alito noted in his dissent, to protect fighting words, to protect incitement, to protect calls for violence. Terrorist, get out of here! Did you hear that? Of course you did. This is what it feels like to be living in an era when the seams are splitting in our culture. When a tireless effort at dividing the people against themselves has finally borne fruit. When the idea of our common shared destiny, our common shared journey as a people, has been cast to the wind and replaced with poison. This is it. It will not, and I don't mean to depress anyone, it will not get better. It will not get better because the Supreme Court of the United States, including those corrupt thugs that I mentioned a bit ago, don't want it to get better. They want the streets to run with the acid poison of the right wing. How many in those hundreds were there because they thought Jesus wanted them there? How many? It is not going to get better. Is it? You tell me. You tell me. Because I don't see where it would be getting better. I don't see how it could get better. Because there's nothing you can do about it. Unless these women, with their children in their arms, wanted to stand and scream back at them. There's nothing, nothing that our corrupt Supreme Court is willing to do to stand in the way of the ferocity of the right-wingers who would tear our country, our once great nation, to shreds. Nothing. Hate in America. there it is, on proud display. Of course, a big part of the problem with that hate is Clarence Thomas. I suspect we will have a conversation about Clarence Thomas this evening. We'd better. Clarence Thomas should be, in anything resembling a just world, impeached and removed from the bench. Because decisions by people like him are what will eventually open up a floodgate of viciousness that will wind up in what Shakespeare called heady murder. How do you stop it? How do you counter it? It might be gratifying to scream back at these freaks, but it's not going to change their hearts. The only thing you can do with hate is to shut it up. The only thing you can do with people who are engaged in trying to make other people ache and suffer is to prevent them from doing it. Right? But even the law, blind justice, has been declared blind to the hate that may wind up being the destruction of this country, this once great nation. What about the voters? What about the voters who voted for Gary Miller in California, who voted for Ed Royce in California? What about Villa Park, California voters who put that slavering madwoman Deborah Pawley into office? I have a beautiful daughter. I have a beautiful 19-year-old son who is a United States Marine. As a matter of fact, I know quite a few Marines who will be willing to help these terrorists, you know, the women with the babies in their arms, to an early meeting in paradise. Is there any point to looking at that electorate and saying, is this what you were voting for? Really? Is this really what you wanted? Is your soul that dead? Is your very being that darkened and desiccated and ruined with hate that you wanted to be represented by filth? Like Deborah Pawley and Ed Royce and Gary Miller? Then again, we're liberals and we're not going to be that confrontational. We'll probably just try to have a nice conversation, if at all, and maybe sing Kumbaya with them. Jesus. It doesn't make me sad for my country. It makes me afraid for my country. It's 25 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll take a little break. Come back. The phone lines are open at 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. We'll be right back on The Horn.
Every time we lie awake, after we take every feeling that I get, but I haven't
6:30 here on the East Coast. This is the Horn. And a couple of emails rolled in, very well worth mentioning. Let's see. Let's start with Kate. Oh, gee, says Kate. I was hoping that was a rally in Anbar province or resistance in an Afghan village. It sounded like the crowd on the steps of a school in Birmingham way back when, or a grocery store parking lot in Casa Grande, Arizona. This behavior isn't unusual in Orange County, California. It is a hotbed of scary, right-wing, narrow-minded, xenophobic, homophobic white folks. Ironic, ain't it, says Kate, that a lot of them are descendants of the Okies from the Dust Bowl. Someday we traveling aliens will get them, but they won't even see it coming. Not traveling anymore, says Kate, but parked in right-wing Montana. Dave writes in and says, yeah, Clarence Thomas has to go first, then Citizens United, or else we're all effed by Coke-sponsored asshats like those who participated in the Orange County Hate Fest. Now you know why we make the reference of behind the orange curtain. I'm not going to be nice, says Dave. I'm sending them some nasty shit. I'm fed up with it all. And adds these addresses. Deborah Pauley, council member. dpauley@villapark.org. D-P-A-U-L-Y at villapark, V-I-L-L-A-P-A-R-K.org. Ed Royce, Republican of Fullerton. 714-744-4130. 714-744-4130. And Gary Miller. Area code 202-225-3201. That's his Washington office. If you want to call his local office in Brea, 714-257-1142. Doesn't California have recall? Are there enough decent people of any kind of goodwill whatsoever to recall, start a recall process for these three bigoted thugs? You got it. It's worth the effort, right? Jack in Shreveport writes, why I'm finally scared, gun rights. Bob, I've never owned a gun, but the first time that I've really felt like I might need a firearm for my personal protection, as Second Amendmenters like to say, is when I decided that I wanted to speak out in only such ways as a letter to the editor of my local paper, that is to say, to use my rights as an American with their First Amendment protections. And it is with comments that I've heard from talk radio show hosts such as yourself and among other folks that I have thought to be so cautious with my own safety. You should be. Now, I'm not saying everybody run out and buy a gun. Dear Lord, I was at a gun show over the weekend. Ferg and I were over in Somersville, and there was a gun show going on down to the armory. And I said, well, son, let's just go in and have a look-see. Just to wander around. It's kind of like, you know, kind of like going to a circus freak show. And, man, they were all out there. I mean, there were teabagging T-shirts and you can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers. And all over the place, there were nice little multi, you know, 20, 21 round, whatever, the 9mm pistol clips, just like the ones that made the Tucson terrorism attack possible. Met a guy from Tucson. Said he used to have the biggest gun store in Tucson, but he had to up and move away because it was just getting too hot. And he wasn't talking about the weather. Can't say nothing about the Mexicans now. Oh, no, you can't say nothing about no Mexicans, he complained. Said he moved here to West Virginia because West Virginians are used to being poor and don't have anything in the first place. So a barter system will take place better because in 10, 15 years, all the cities will be emptying out and nobody will want to come to West Virginia because it's too hard to live. So he's building him a compound. Got him a bunch of guns. After Ferg and I had left, later on that same day, apparently a couple of people got shot. Because some Nijinsky was looking around, looking at a firearm. The damn thing had a round in the chamber, went off, and went through two folks. Oh, well, oopsie, guns don't kill people. Idiots handling guns kill people, or at least wound them. You know, there's really no nice way, there's really no pleasant way to get shot. Yeah, our buddy, our transplant from Tucson, was explaining to me about how, nobody's carrying American guns over into Mexico. That's just all liberal media propaganda. Yeah, I guess he hadn't read this story. Headline, USA Today, three smuggling suspects arrested after gun and agents slaying is traced. Three people suspected of smuggling guns to Mexico were arrested in a Dallas suburb on Monday after federal investigators traced the gun used in the killing of a U.S. agent in Mexico to one of them. Morning raids in southern Dallas suburb of Lancaster, Texas, where suspected gun smugglers were arrested. Jaime Zapata was killed and Victor Avila was wounded in the shooting of two federal agents near San Luis Potosi. And the shooting was done with guns that had been bought in Murica and smuggled into Old Mexico. They were shot as they returned to Mexico City from a meeting with other U.S. personnel in the state of San Luis Potosi. But that ain't happening, according to my right-wing transplant from Tucson. It just ain't happening. No, not happening at all. Yeah. If you've never been to a gun show, you really should go. Don't give anything away. Don't be acting all liberal or nothing. Just go and look at the firearms and how much you want for this. And, you know, they'll just cradle you right into the fold because nobody goes to those things but people that want to be there. Bless his heart, Ferg didn't want a firearm. He found a guy selling katanas, Japanese swords, probably made of really, really crappy Pakistani steel. But I know a little bit about these things. Oh, he lobbied hard for those swords. I'm not buying you a sword, son. I'm just not. It was a tough little moment, or several. So, let's see. Yeah, about 22 minutes before the hour, we should probably go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Tony, what's up?
You know what? You're a pretty smart guy. My wife is Japanese, and you knew about katana and crappy steel. You're probably right about that.
Well, I learned about crappy Pakistani steel from getting into straight razor shaving.
You're very well educated, dude. I have to admit that. This thing that happened in Orange County, it happened today, right?
No, that's February 13th.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. And there were actually. She was an elected official. She held office and she was making that speech.
Held? Holds.
Wow. What is that, as a citizen of this country, how scared must you be when you hear somebody who is an official who's...
Right, that's an elected official urging these right-wing freaks on to murder.
Then you would have a tendency to feel like you're pretty much on your own. You know what I mean? I mean, that's...
Yeah, but then again, to what extent doesn't the Muslim community in this country already feel that way?
That's true. The woman was carrying a baby, and it was a fundraiser for battered women, correct?
Yeah, a battered women's shelter, yes.
Okay, so I'm safe to assume that they're not refusing anybody. Any woman who's battered, they can come in.
Oh, no. It's not a shelter for battered Muslim women.
Okay, go. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. So this is for anybody who wants to come in.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser from the put up by the Islamic Circle of North America.
Oh, that woman's stupid. I mean, I don't understand it. How, and she's probably going to be she's probably going to get away. That her speech and all those people chanting, it kind of reminded me of Schindler's List a little bit.
Yeah, like I said, if it was in German, you'd know when you'd know exactly what it was and when it took place.
I don't know.
That's not the thing that happens in my country. Wars have been fought to make sure that that kind of thing didn't happen in this country.
And the other guy, you mentioned another official. Who was the guy you said that was in the you gave the number of his office?
Gary Miller and Ed Royce, both members of Congress.
Gary Miller, Ed Royce, and this woman, they're all members of Congress, correct?
No, she's a member of the city council.
But she's a member of the city council, and she's come out and backed up protesters who want to stop a battered woman's shelter.
No, they want to kill Muslims. If they had been gathered to... Jesus, how much more philanthropic can you get than to have a fundraiser for a women's shelter? to pet kittens, they would have been screaming, "Go back home, you terrorist!"
Wow, I thought I'd seen it all.
And of course, one of the principal organizers was, of course, Pamela Geller. And she and her followers were recently named by the Southern Poverty Law Center to be a hate group unto themselves.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, when you have elected officials coming out against you, then that would make me pretty scared. I don't know. Where do you go from there? Who do you go to for help? I mean,
right. That's the whole thing, Tony. The Supreme Court has said there is no help.
I don't know, man. This is going to be a quick call. It's stunning to me, and you're right. Where do you go? I don't know. I'm kind of speechless because, like I said before, it's like when you have elected officials coming out against you. That's like when I don't know. I'm stunned with this one. Anyway, Bob. Keep talking, bro. I'll talk to you later.
All right. You take care, Tony. Bye now. It is stunning. It's stunning when you are confronted with this. By the way, you know the number, right? 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 is the direct dial local number. If you've got any kind of a conscience, you react with shock, horror. I mean, I had a stack of other stuff to put into this evening's Thorn in the Side Thursday program. This story I got rather late in the process of pulling the show together, but I knew immediately that it had to go to the top of the list. Because this isn't a case of blowing something out of proportion. This isn't an isolated incident. This Islamophobia, and it's not even Islamophobia now. It's open Islam, anti-Islamic persecution. It's happening all over the country. Remember the story last week about the legislature in Tennessee filing bills in both houses of their legislature to declare foot washing to be treasonous conduct and Sharia law to be treasonous conduct? It's everywhere. From sea to sea and coast to coast and border to border. And I don't have the psychological the credits. I don't have the I don't have the skill set to understand. Well, I think I understand why it happens and how it happens to people's minds, but I damn sure don't know anything about deprogramming them away from it. What threat to them was a woman modestly dressed and carrying, just like a little little girl in a dress with tights and the little patent leather shoes. The hell threat was that to those pasty-faced, doughy white people with all their Merkin flags? What the hell? How do you break through that? How do you stop it? How do you protect America against that? Just heard from Jude. Jude is more than willing to act on things like this. She said, I just got off the phone with a woman who hosted a gathering for Deborah Pauly. She was very concerned that I had obtained her home phone number. After a few moments of answering how I obtained her number, she gave me Councilwoman Deborah Pauly, Y-N-O-T-D-P, why not D-P, the letter Y, the letter N, the letter O, the letter T, the letter D, the letter P, why not D-P, at AOL.com. Jude says, I was actually shaking while I viewed the video, Bob, and having personally stood in front of an Islamic center, I stood to support and offer peace their way. And the respect and love I was shown while standing moved me to tears of gratitude. Oh, my God. Signed, Jude. I'm at a loss. I'm flummoxed. All we can do is process on this because I have no answers. I don't know. Do we need a South African-style truth and reconciliation commission? But that's generally only after the atrocities have taken place. How do you stop the atrocities before they do start taking place? Remember, it's 2011 in America. And people just like these Orange County freaks are carrying guns to rallies. And curb stomping their political opponents in the street. Jesus. Back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. Weather is warming up out here, and I'm happy about that. It's been so cold all winter. Well, we've got a few things on my mind. First of all, you keep saying, they want it all. I got a little different scenario for you than that. As a prodigal son, what we're undergoing is a Christian religion that sees America and the prodigal son. And how do you win the prodigal son back? You let him debase himself. And that, I believe, is what's going on right now. The Republicans know what they're doing by cutting the budget. They know that they're putting us into a deep depression. And that's exactly what they want, because they're able to return to their Jesus, how they look at Jesus, and then we can return to the all-loving father of James Dobson, where the father is the absolute ruler of his clan. And, that's going on right down the line. Pat Robertson preaches this on a daily basis.
I think your analysis is pretty sound, Chris, but I think it's too complicated for the average back behind the baseboards the filthy little Republican.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to, and I don't want to get your blood pressure up, but could you imagine a demonstration taking place without somebody wandering by them saying, even if they lose them, saying, filing a court action, saying, they insulted my morality. I'm going to sue them.
Well, but that's the whole thing. The Supreme Court said you can't do that anymore. They said that yesterday.
I know that, but could you think what happened would be if they decided the other way?
Oh, yeah. The screams of, ooh, we're being persecuted for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, we're being persecuted would be on the lips of every one of them.
The slap suit lawyers would be out in force. They would be, they were against militarism.
My heavens, I mean, this kind of religion and ethnic-based hatred, and one of the sponsors of that hate fest was a rabbi?
Yeah. I can't hear
What is this? It's okay. It's not okay to do it to my people, but I can do it to other people?
Yeah, I agree, but I just think if the court has decided the other way, that every demonstration would be the subject of a slap suit.
No, I don't necessarily think so, because there are things in the legal system, Chris, to discourage that kind of thing.
Well, I would hope so, but I've seen an awful lot of that already.
The point is that you know what Fred Phelps did, or Westboro Baptist, Margie Phelps, whomever, what they did was a very specifically targeted fact set, and it met the criteria of intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Oh, I agree, but there again you get to drawing lines with this court. Where, how far would they go to put that line down the bar?
Well, I understand that. But we do ourselves no favor in this society, because when we institutionalize hate as the Supreme Court did yesterday, ultimately the problem is that this was never protected in the first place. They weren't drawing any lines. I mean, they could have relied on existing precedent and been just fine. This is more radicalism from the right wing leadership of the court.
Oh, I agree, but anybody with a megaphone, somebody could have taken it the other way. That would be my fear.
I just don't think your fear is justified, and I'm not being disagreeable just to be disagreeable. I don't think it's justified because there has to be something specific in order to justify a claim of intentional infliction of emotional distress or another tort like that. You know, like showing up at a specific person's funeral to target that person's family.
Well, is the military a family, or is my neighborhood mayor a family that I could get out on the street and tell people to vote for her opponent? Is that inflicting intentional harm? I don't know.
Probably not.
Well, you know,
because it's one thing to raise issues of policy. It's another thing to deliberately try to hurt another human being. You know, that's why Samuel Alito, and I'm no fan of his, but that's why his analysis was more toward the correct, because this is not protected speech. It's no different than fighting words. Fighting words are not protected speech.
Well, George Bush, that suit before the Supreme Court was because they inflicted harm on their Bush candidacy. And the court decided, oh, yeah, Bush won.
Well,
do you remember that?
I remember that all too well.
Yeah, so, you voted against me, therefore you inflicted harm on my job. I mean,
That's a different legal standard as opposed to a tort. That's what's called an extraordinary remedy. It's a petition for a specific writ.
Right. Well, you know, all those civil liberties groups were on the other side because they seem to see it my way. So I don't know. I'm not arguing with you at all.
No, I know.
I hate the I hate religion in general. Now, of course, you hear the latest that they say there are some of the protesters in Madison got weapons in there, and now they want to clear it to investigate where they put the bombs.
I don't believe it for a minute.
No, I don't believe it for a moment, but you got to know these people on the other side are not going to lose very easily.
Well,
I mean, they're going to do all sorts of rabble to try to change public opinion. No, that they're not going to get away with that, obviously, but, you know, they're not through yet, if you know what I mean.
I do, I do. Chris, it's good talking to you. Have yourself a good evening, brother.
Okay, bye.
Thank All right.
you.
Take care. Bye now. Chris calling from Moscow, Idaho, and let's see if there's somebody here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim.
You know, I'm not really surprised at anything that these people say.
Oh, I'm not surprised anymore.
I'm not shocked either. I mean, if you look throughout the history of this country, for example, there's a book by David Brinkley called Washington Goes to War, and referenced in that book is a Senator Bilbo.
Of Mississippi.
Well, you know, this sort of sounds like some of the stuff he used to say, too, that Brinkley referenced in this book. And, you know, this stuff has been with us a long, long time. I mean, the stuff that was said pursuant to the Jim Crow laws in the South, the Father Conklin, the radio priest in the 30s, remember him?
But even this is a ratcheting up of that. This is beyond. This is.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying it has precedent. And also the Posse Comitatus, the Aryan Brotherhood, and other right-wing extremist groups. I mean, these guys have been around a long, long time. And it got to the point, the Turner Diaries. It got to the point where one of them took out a federal building in Oklahoma City.
And that's, you know, that's what, and look, I mean, we've seen bombings of Islamic centers and schools in Texas. The terribly, terribly underreported, underinvestigated near tragedy that took place, what was it, in Oregon or Washington?
Mm-hmm.
When a backpack bomb with right-wing indicia in it was discovered in the nick of time. These people are out to do real damage, and they are out really to destroy the country. You know, I've got a quote here. I was over at one of my favorite sites, BartCop, BartCop.com, and Bart had a quote up today from Vice President Henry Wallace, talking about American fascists. And Jim, given your knowledge of history, I know you know who Henry Wallace was.
I do.
Henry Wallace said, talking about American fascists, "They claim to be super patriots, but they would destroy every liberty guaranteed by the Constitution. They demand free enterprise, but are the spokesman for monopoly and vested interest. Their final objective, toward which all their deceit is directed, is to capture political power so that using the power of the state and the power of the market simultaneously, they may keep the common man in eternal subjection." Now, that was, you know, the early 1940s. How's that any different from, or maybe the late 1940s, how is that any different from the teabaggers? Not much, as far as I can see.
Mm-mm. But, you know, the teabaggers themselves are, well, first let me say this. People of this nature, if I'm pressed, I will repay them in their own coin and think nothing about it if I have to, okay? Because I'm not going to take shit like this. If I'm pushed up against the wall by somebody like that, he's going to regret the day he met me, or I will regret the day he met him.
The problem, though, Jim, is
that...
No, I understand. That's you. But by the same token, that can't be a position that these put-upon communities like these Muslims in Orange County can adopt. Because then the next thing, if one of them speaks out, if one of them pushes back, there will be a conflagration in this country.
Or it could be a lesson learned by these people that they can't do this thing.
I don't think they're capable of learning those lessons.
Well, you know, Bob, some people have to be taught in different ways. If they don't listen, they have to feel. That's my point. And then you have here today, you've got this idiot Huckabee or Huck Fuck or whatever his name is, and he's going on about Obama's being, you know, making oblique statements about Obama's origins. And today he was going on about making an oblique statement about Obama having attended a madrasa when it was proved that he went to a Catholic school. I mean, you have these people who can make these statements with impunity and with no consequence. I mean, it galvanizes people like you've been talking about into, it just whips them up into an absolute fury. And Huckabee gets away with it, and they think, well, can't we?
And that's why I keep saying, and maybe I'm not making my point, Jim, this should not be, is not, not shouldn't, this is not, no, is not protected speech. Because this is the equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Well, I know that, Bob. I know that. And I'm saying there are different ways of dealing with these people. I mean, they're hardwired into this stuff, like I pointed out with the precedents that I explained earlier. And they have to be repaid in their own coin eventually. I mean, this is...
Are you suggesting that their ears are in their buttocks?
Oh, yeah, I could say that too. I mean, what is the difference between these people and individuals like Joseph Goebbels in the 1930s?
Not a damn bit.
Or Julius Streicher when he had that rag called Der Stürmer, the anti-Semitic newspaper, and they finally hanged his ass at Nuremberg. And, of course, Goebbels bit on a capital of cyanide. I mean, that's what happens to these people. I mean, these people eventually self-destruct. Their own hatred destroys them. I mean, hatred like this is like acid, and a container can only hold such acidic hatred so long before that container itself dissolves. That's my point. I mean, look at the teabaggers right now. Who is that guy, Tyler, who founded the teabag movement? Is that he the one?
Well, it was sort of amorphously founded on a number of fronts.
Well, it was one guy, and now they're screaming for boner's removal. I mean, they're turning against themselves.
Well, that's because they're political babies, and they have no sense of.
They're political idiots.
Okay.
They don't have any sense of history. They don't have any education. They don't have any sense of decency. They think they have a sense of decency, but it's their own particular brand of decency. Like the Nazis thought they had a sense of decency. But like I say, this stuff will eventually self-destruct. And I wouldn't mind helping it along the way. Should I be given the opportunity, or let me change that, the necessity of doing so. Because, as I said before, if a person does not listen, they have to feel.
You know, Marty just wrote in, and he said it's not just their ears are in their buttocks. He said they suffer from cranial rectumitis, a common teabagger affliction.
Well, they've got their head up their ass, exactly what you're saying. But, you know, these people don't listen to common sense. They don't listen to reason. They don't listen to any type of decent platform of intellectual or moral responsibility. And they have to be repaid in their own coin, if necessary. I mean, let's face it, that's the situation. Hatred in this country has its roots deeply set in our history. And we've seen it happen in the 1930s, for example. You had the German Bund headed by Fritz Kuhn. Remember him?
Sure.
And of course,
the father of one of our Supreme Court justices was the head of a pro-Mussolini organization in New York.
Oh, yeah. By the way, in Italy, you can still go to a shop and buy statues of Mussolini. There's a resurgence of, shall we say, an appreciation of history for him.
Well, that's because Silvio Berlusconi is at the head of that appreciation.
Well, it's been going on for him, too. But anyway, back in the 30s, they had, like, two camps, Camp Nordland and Camp Siegfried, where these German Bundists would get together with their, and they would be like these Nazi youth rallies they had. They were patterned exactly after the Nazi youth rallies that they had in Germany in the 30s, that Leni Riefenstahl so aptly portrayed and filmed in her documentary, Triumph of the Will. This stuff is old, Bob. It's just coming out in different forms, and it has a new focus group upon which they can channel their hatred and their bullshit. And that's the only word I know that describes.
Well, what scares me, Jim, though, is that while it has manifested itself from time to time in our country over the years, no situation is ever exactly like another situation. And in this particular instance, the hate that these goons are manifesting is born out of a national sense of distrust that's going on when we're busy. I mean, my God, did you see the story? Look, we killed another 9 children in Afghanistan. Did you notice?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, we blew away 9 little children who were out gathering wood so that their families wouldn't freeze to death because it's still pretty cold over there.
How was this done, by troops on the ground or by a drone?
I think it was a drone. And, you know, it's going to, you know, we'll make it all better because we'll go and we'll pay off the families and give them each some money.
Well, that is the consequence of war and our being in Afghanistan when we should not be there in the first place. And it's horrible. It is regrettable. And it's going to continue as long as we are in that particular portion of the world. And that's just the way it is. It's horrible. But no amount of words that we can say tonight are going to bring any of those kids back, unfortunately. I wish we could. I wish the drone had not focused upon them.
I'm sorry. It was a helicopter gunship.
Well, that's a little different matter then. Same effect, but a different method. I don't have any answers for it other than what I've said already, and I'd be repeating myself. But I wanted to ask something else, if I might.
Sure.
I was listening to the chairman of the Republican National Committee tonight. Now he's the architect of a party that wants to restore fiscal responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In the last election, well, they had a credit card of $15 million to fund that election. Well, right now, they're sucking wind at $23 million that they owe, that they've misspent, overspent, and yet they're trying to tell us how to balance the budget and what cuts to make and this, that, and the other, and these people are the party of fiscal responsibility. I've never heard such bullshit in my life.
And yet, but it goes out on the for-profit media and people just eat it up.
Well, Blitzer wasn't eating it up, I can tell you that. He asked him point blank. And the guy couldn't give him an answer. I mean, Wolf Blitzer said, if you're the party of fiscal responsibility, but you can't even control your own internal debt mechanisms, what does that tell you? And make a guy look like a complete idiot. And he changed the subject and then started talking about the derivation of his name, some funny name, Remus or...
No, that's the chairman of the Republican Party, Rince Priebus.
Rince Priebus, that's who was being interviewed, that's who I'm talking about.
Rince Priebus of the Imodium Mounted Police and his trusty possum Splat, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's the chairman of the RNC. And so I think when people began to realize exactly how ill-equipped and ill-informed and ill-intentioned these individuals are, there will be a day of reckoning for them. And my prediction is that they will self-destruct by irresponsibility.
Apparently, Jim, you have a much higher opinion of the American electorate than do I.
Well, Bob, what other choice do I have? What other choice do I have? That eventually people will see these individuals for what they are, just as we have seen them for what they were in past situations.
Right, and I'm not trying to be argumentative, Jim, but there's a problem with that realization. And that problem lies in the fact that it's possible to come to one's realization too darn late. I mean, I'm guessing by 1943 there were a lot of people having second thoughts about the little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache in Germany.
Well, not 1943. We were talking about 1942, shortly after Pearl Harbor. I mean, basically.
Right, but by then it was too late. I mean, you can say to a certain extent the same thing about Dim Leader. You know, America, by the time of the November 2008 elections, the United States electorate had said, "Oh my God, anybody but him." And certainly not that cranky old cancer victim. And so we elected Barack Obama, but it was too late. And then immediately the right-wing message machine cranked up and said, he's spending our grandchildren's future. When the grandchildren's future was spent 5 years before. And the same people complaining about it now were as silent as a graven image then. And it's too late. And that's what scares me to death about things like Orange County, California, Jim. Is that it's possible to come to these realizations too late.
Well, there's always that possibility.
I mean, I'm going to mention this guy's name. My God in heaven. Rabbi David Eliezeri of Chabad of Yorba Linda. And he's standing there screaming, "Go back home," with the rest of these bigots?
Well, of course, you have these right-wing rabbis and these right-wing elements. You have these Zionists. They've been around for years, Bob. You know, I say there's a possibility that it might be too late. But then again, I'm going to say there's a probability that it might not be too late. And I would like to be optimistic in the situation.
Well, I cannot blame you for your optimism.
And, it's, you know, usually I'm pretty pessimistic about most things. I mean, when I was talking last night about staring into black holes, I mean, I was reeling under the impact of the Supreme Court decision and other things as well that are just absolutely stupidly wooden and woodenly stupid. But eventually, these things have a way of imploding. And I'm repeating myself, but I feel like that they will eventually implode. I mean, just like Hitler's fascism, it had its day in the sun. It did. And it looked pretty dark back in 1940, 41, 42, didn't it?
Yeah.
He had all of continental Europe and most of European Russia and much of North Africa in his hand. Well, a couple of years later, about the only thing he controlled was a hole in the ground called his bunker. I mean, these things eventually have a way of, well, but their sins find them out. And I know it might look dark, and I know it might be horrifying, but eventually I hope that right will prevail and that people can come to their senses. And some of them If they don't want to listen, well, they'll have to be tossed into the dustbin of history.
And if they cannot learn, they must feel.
Well, exactly. And they won't go willingly either. I mean, people like Mussolini and Hitler, they didn't go willingly. It took an outright war to erase the shadows of these monsters from the earth. But erased they were. But even though with that erasure, you still have remnants of the doctrines they preach, which goes back to what I have said, that, you know, time and history are not linear, but cyclical. We think we've learned our lessons, and then 20 years later, we make the same mistakes, and then we have to go through another process of learning our lessons and reaping the consequences.
Because we don't do a good enough job of passing the wisdom from generation to generation.
Well, no, we don't. As a matter of fact, you know, for example, look at Afghanistan. Okay, we were over there helping them with Stinger missiles when the Mujahideen were fighting the Soviet Union, right?
Yeah.
Well, we got rid of the Soviet troops when they crossed that bridge back in whenever it was, 1988, is that when it was, when they finally got out of Afghanistan? And, of course, you had Charlie Wilson getting them Stinger missiles in the hands of the Mujahideen. Well, what did we do with that country after we had gotten the Soviets out? We created a vacuum.
Yeah, we screwed up the peace.
And screwed up the peace. And then that's when you had the Taliban and all types of terrorist groups taking root, where if we had gone in there and done some serious investing in that country and its infrastructure, we would have more than just an isolated area or an enclave in Kabul. And some guy who has to pop pills to run it, and you know who I'm talking about, the present head of the government we're supporting, that puppet over there.
Right.
But if we'd gone into there after the Soviets left and tried to restructure that country and give it some the ability to govern itself properly and use its own resources for the betterment of its own people, which we could have done, but we didn't.
But that wasn't sexy enough.
Wasn't sexy enough. We thought that Stinger missiles and Soviet Hind helicopters crashing to the ground and, you know, the Soviet Vietnam, that was enough for us. And now what has been the Soviet Vietnam, in my opinion, has become our own.
Yeah, I don't know if you watch Morning Joe or not.
I can't stand him. I can't take him. I go to it. HNN or CNN. I can't handle Morning Joe.
Well, I caught a little bit today. But as he was fulminating about Afghanistan, and what he was saying about Afghanistan was correct, but it sure did. It took him until that one got into the White House to realize that Afghanistan was a problem. And it was just sickening.
Oh, I can remember when he was just, you know, going on about why we should be there and all kinds of stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, what are his qualifications other than been in the House for, what, 2 years?
I guess he's got a telegenic little chubby face.
He's just absolutely an idiot. And
You should have heard it. We're creating the terrorists of tomorrow over there. Well, dumbass, you know, weren't we doing that 8 years ago? 9 years ago?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
But it only became a bad war. And see, I'm consistent. It's been a bad war from start to present, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, the search for bin Laden, for example.
Yeah, that was a comedy of errors.
I mean, you know, they can't find him. I mean, Joan Rivers was going on about him the other night on her program when she said, my God, he's got a dialysis unit and he's 6'4". And how many plugs are there in Afghanistan? Just follow the fucking cord and get to the plug and you'll get him.
God love her.
I mean, it's exactly what she said, and then to a certain extent, it's very true. I mean,
but we had a chance to take him, but George didn't want him, Jim. Because if we'd captured him, well, then all the fun would have been over. And remember, he was getting ready to go into Iraq, and he was going to go into Iraq because all that crazy goofy stuff that booze-addled freak curveball had provided. That the German intelligence service said, we're not so sure he is telling the truth.
No.
But George didn't care about that either. He tried to kill my daddy. You know what an ancient history freak I am. Go back and read up on the third Punic War. You know, the one where the Romans went in and finally leveled Carthage.
Oh, yeah. They sowed it with salt, I understand.
Go back and read the run-up to that. I think Polybius covers some of it. And you'll find that the run-up to the Third Punic War was chapter and verse the run-up to the Iraq War. With the same outcome. I guess there is nothing new under the sun, Jim. But...
Not to me. I mean, no matter how outrageous something may be today, you can always turn the pages of the history book and find something equally outrageous or something that would lead to it. At least that's been my position on it.
Well, and that's largely the truth, I think.
Well, my friend, you've got other people that you need to talk to, but...
Well, I appreciate the conversation, Jim. I really do.
And thank you for helping me locate the soundtrack last night.
Well, golly Moses, if I can't help you find Frankenstein drag queens, you know, what purpose do we serve here?
From Planet 13.
From Planet 13, exactly.
Oh, my God. Anyway, you take care, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, later, Jim. Bye.
All right.
That's our good buddy, Jim. 21 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on the East Coast. And probably take a break here in a couple of minutes. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I got my flu shot yesterday. So naturally, I feel like I've got the flu. I feel like Daffy Duck with his disintegrator pistol. You know the one. He points it at Marvin Martian, pulls the trigger, and the pistol disintegrates. That's me. So I'm a little off my game tonight. I'm sorry for that, but I am. Secondarily... it's that time. It's 22 minutes past the hour. Time for me to aggravate and harangue you a little bit. You know, we try to raise $625 a week to keep the horn afloat. And I did the little tally before the program because this is the first week of March. And in order to be on track, we would have to be at, $500 or so. Well, we're not. The first week of March will end, of course, tomorrow. For broadcast purposes, and we are $400. We're $400 behind. So what we need are 40 members of the Thrifty 250. 40 people. We need 40 people doing $10 each between now and close of program Friday night, which is tomorrow. I would think that we should be able to pull that off. 40 people, $10 apiece, we're done for the week, and I shut up. Or, on the other hand, we can do, 200 people at, 200 people at, or 190 people at $10 apiece, and we're done for the month. Let's call this the Have Bob Shut Up About Fundraising campaign. Wouldn't that be lovely? Yeah. By the way, I got it made it into the hills and hollers of, almost level West by God, Virginia. And Doodle has her Glee concert tonight. And as her daddy, I ain't there. And I kind of feel like crap. But she understood. I explained that I couldn't be there. She said, Daddy, if it was at noon, you'd be there. If it was at 2, you'd be there. If it was at 4, you'd be there. But they scheduled this during your work. She's rather... perceptive for not quite 14. Yeah, this just in from Texas Betsy, our blogger, by the way. She says, please ask people with jobs or contracts or security to chip in for those of us now facing unemployment. Betsy has been there month in and month out and is now in a position where she can't be because, well, she has been victimized by Republicans, budget cutters, deficit hawks. Right. And so, yeah, just that little mention from Betsy. And if I was saying we needed, you know, 40 people to send in $100, it would be a different story. We're talking about 40 people at $10 just to finish the week. Oh, yeah, she says, and if somebody wants to buy my kid a car. I'm sorry, Betsy, but we're going to work on the two front tires of the Horn's rusty red pickup truck first. They're sort of bald, but you'll have that. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll come back with your phone calls. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice, but you know that because you know you're listening to the Horn. Nothing quite like it, huh? The Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen on the way, coming up.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered. But does it bollocks? Not compared to how people matter.
Thank you. Cool Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, it's stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends!
And hippies!
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius. You got your soap right here.
And don't worry about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's Thursday, March 3, 2011.
They said, "How are you here for the auction?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "Would you like to be a bidder?" And I said, "Yes, I would."
Climate activist goes on trial for saving national park land.
So if Congress slashed EPA funding, concentrations of harmful pollution would increase from current levels in the places Americans live, work, go to school, fish, hike, and hunt.
Slash and burn Republicans, cut the EPA, plus radioactive water.
Track that. All that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Democrats and Republicans both agree on cutting useless stuff like $22 million from special education, $103 million from FEMA, and $2.5 billion from home heating assistance for the poor. Hey, it's almost spring, and with global warming, this might be the last winter.
Well, there you go, Stephen Colbert, always seeing the bright side. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Jez, some good news and some bad news today. The good news, the eastern cougar has been taken off the endangered species list. The bad news, it's because the eastern cougar is now extinct.
Yeah, you know, your good news isn't so good.
No, it's not. So with them extinct, let's see who else we can put out of business. Des, what do you have for us today?
Well, first up is the trial of climate activist Tim DeChristopher, which began this week in federal court in Salt Lake City, Utah. In the last days of the Bush administration, DeChristopher, in an act of civil disobedience, disrupted a hasty, last-minute auctioning off of public lands to the oil and gas industry. He bid up leases near national parks. A federal judge later ruled most of that auction was illegal, but DeChristopher is still being prosecuted on felony charges and faces 10 years in prison. In an exclusive interview with SolveClimate.com, DeChristopher explained why he was willing to risk prison time.
You know, at the time I was thinking, if I do this, I'll probably go to prison for 2 or 3 years. Could I live with that? And finally came to the realization that if I had to deal with all the things that we're on track for right now, all these catastrophic impacts of climate change and the unprecedented human suffering, knowing that I had an opportunity to do something about it and I didn't do it, I really couldn't live with that.
This guy, Tim DeChristopher, is really a hero. I mean, he disrupted this auction by putting in a phony bid price for these public lands that were being sold off under the Bush administration. So he's fighting now for his life, really. You can donate to his defense fund at bidder70.org. That's bidder70.org. And, of course, we have links at our website at greennews.bradblog.com. And, of course, it should be noted that while Tim DeChristopher fights to keep himself out of jail, not a single person has been charged in the BP oil spill in the Gulf, the largest oil spill in the history of the United States. We certainly have our priorities straight in this nation, don't we?
Indeed. A bombshell investigation by the New York Times reveals the controversial natural gas drilling technique of hydraulic fracturing could be a far greater danger to the nation's drinking water supplies than previously understood. Secret government and industry documents reveal that millions of gallons of the toxic wastewater from hydraulic fracturing, or fracking for short, is being dumped, virtually untreated, into the nation's rivers. The biggest revelation, that the wastewater is contaminated with dangerously high levels of radioactivity and is being sent to water treatment plants that are not equipped to deal with it and then discharged untreated into rivers that supply drinking water for millions of Americans around the country. Congressional Democrats have called for hearings on the revelations.
And, of course, that was allowed to happen because under the Bush administration, Halliburton and the other natural gas fracking companies were made exempt from the Safe Drinking Water Act so that nobody was actually looking at the poison caused by fracking. Seems like a big story to me. Was on the front page of the New York Times. Glad to see that. Of course, across the rest of the media, much more important, Charlie Sheen is in some kind of trouble. Once again, the priorities in our nation, dubious at best.
The EPA is still determining a response to these new revelations, but meanwhile, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson was on Capitol Hill Wednesday trying to defend the EPA's enforcement budget against draconian cuts proposed by Republicans, cuts that she says would be directly detrimental to public health.
Big polluters would flout legal restrictions on dumping contaminants into the air, into rivers, and onto the ground. Toxic plumes already underground would reach drinking water supplies because ongoing work to contain them would stop.
Administrator Jackson also released the results of a new economic impact study that shows the benefits of the Clean Air Act outweigh the costs by 30 to 1. In other words, every dollar spent to comply with tougher air pollution rules generated $30 in public health benefits. Overall, the act will have saved $2 trillion in public health costs by 2020, including preventing an estimated 160,000 premature deaths every year and saving billions in health care costs from diseases caused by air pollution.
And yet the so-called fiscal conservative Republicans, they are attempting to gut the EPA. Priorities, people, priorities. For more on this and the stories we did not get to today, please check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com, where you can support our efforts with a donation to stay on your public airwaves, telling you the truth where just about everyone else doesn't. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyle.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, I'm not on science. Not unattractive. Turn me off tonight. Cause I'm a radioactive. Radioactive.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Before the hour, a little over halfway through the program tonight. And some good news during the break. At least I view it as good news. We are with the five less folks in the are needed to fill out the week's fundraising. If we divide it by two, 20 people tonight, 20 people tomorrow, that means we only need 15 more folks tonight, $10 apiece. So, Kate just dropped me a note, and she says, please tell Betsy that her thrifty March and April are taken care of. Kid needs a car? Does it have to be running? Blessings to you, sister. Sorry to hear that the kids in Texas lost a damn fine teacher role model. Love and light coming from Kate. So, the 15 folks, and, thanks to the three of you who took care of those five slots. 15 folks tonight, 20 folks tomorrow night, and we will be on track to, I don't know, is it possible? Dare we hope for it? Another, a third month in a row, actually with the horn in the black? Holy mackerel, devoutly to be wished. Yeah, an update, by the way, and I am going back to the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. You know, I think I say those things in my sleep. I think Agnes has actually caught me giving the phone number in my sleep. But I am going back, but I want to mention something to you, a little bit of an update. You heard Brad and Desi talking about Tim DeChristopher, our buddy Jeff Biggers. And he is a very good friend. Jeff Biggers has a post up at Huffington Post today. Tim DeChristopher deserves the Medal of Freedom today, not a prison sentence. Jeff writes, when President Obama conferred the National Medal of Arts and the National Humanities Medal on several American heroes yesterday, including Kentucky poet Wendell Berry. You know, Wendell Berry was part of this heroic sit-in at the governor's office in Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. Including Kentucky poet Wendell Berry, he forgot one last award, the Medal of Freedom, to Tim DeChristopher. Instead of being convicted today on two felony counts for placing bids and disrupting an auction for pristine wilderness Utah sites that would have been open to gas and oil exploration, 27-year-old Tim DeChristopher should have been receiving our nation's highest honor for an especially meritorious contribution to the security or national interests of the United States. And you heard, of course, Brad and Desi talking about it. The whole stinking, dirty, rotten, filthy auction was overturned by the courts afterward. By God, they were still going to try to get their pound of flesh out of Tim DeChristopher. And today, in federal court, he was convicted on two counts. Placing bids and disrupting an auction. Jeff Biggers writes, just as Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. admonished critics in 1963 from his Birmingham jail cell that our nation's indifferences to the civil rights crisis demanded acts of civil disobedience, Tim DeChristopher has followed in King's call to create a situation so crisis-packed that it will inevitably open the door to negotiation. Those are Dr. King's words. At his trial in Salt Lake City this week, DeChristopher declared, I was there to raise a red flag. I wanted to delay the auction so that the government could take a second look and make sure they were following their own rules. Jeff notes, even you, Mr. President, have said, quote, the issue of climate change is one that we ignore at our own peril. Tim DeChristopher deserves the Medal of Freedom, not a prison sentence. You can read the rest of this stirring article over at Huffington Post. It is by Jeff Biggers. Tim DeChristopher deserves the Medal of Freedom today, not a prison sentence. Ron, with a little historical reminder, Ron and Raleigh, people forget that the Soviets were invited into Afghanistan by Najibullah, the socialist leader, to help put down the Northern Alliance. It all went sideways, of course. Always seems to do that. Jude says she needs to take a breath. That after the after hearing the Orange County Hate Fest, well, she's feeling a little drained. That's because of what she just wrote. I want you to hear this. I hope Jude won't mind. You know, Jude is the founder of Women Standing, a silent peace movement of profound import. Jude wrote, Councilwoman Pauley, of course, being the woman who screamed, let's hear Councilwoman Pauley scream just one more time. What do you think? Yeah. Here she is. Talking about women with babes in arms going to a charity auction. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, here we go. Here she is.
tell you what's going on over there right now, make no bones about it. That is pure, unadulterated evil.
Remember, she's talking about a charity auction for a women's shelter. Pure, unadulterated evil.
And I don't even care. I don't even care if you think I'm crazy anymore. Because I have a beautiful daughter. I have a wonderful 19-year-old son who's a United States Marine. As a matter of fact, I know quite a few Marines who will be very happy to help these terrorists to an early meeting in paradise.
Gosh, I wonder if they're yelling, ha, 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 about those 9 children who got to go to an early meeting in paradise thanks to the kindly efforts of a door gunner on an American gunship in Afghanistan. So, Councilwoman Deborah Pawley, P-A-U-L-Y, Councilwoman Deborah Pawley, has a beautiful daughter and a 19-year-old son in the Marines. I guess Muslim people aren't allowed to have beautiful daughters because that's the little daughters in arms are who these right-wing filth merchants were screaming go back home at. And thus it was that our dear friend Jude was moved to the following. Councilwoman Pawley, after viewing the below video, I was compelled to write you of my outrage and profound sadness for our country. With individuals such as yourself spewing such hate, we are so close to following what the brown shirts did in Germany in the early 30s. It is obvious that you have not grasped, nor understood, history's hate-filled movements, or what occurs when such hate takes over the body. Have you not viewed the Jews, gypsies, those from Poland, all of them, men, women, children, being led into the concentration camps and killed? The exact same manifestation was made at that hate rally you spoke at in Orange County last month. But be put on notice, as it is now recorded, saved for history, Councilwoman Pawley, for all of the world to view exactly who you are. I find what you did and how you spoke quite frightening, but do not begin to think that I am afraid of you, for recognizing one's enemy is the first step to clarity. It shifts others into action. Please know because of your actions that I will commit to stand daily in front of our Islamic Center in support and love for those who enter. We will not let hate rape our souls. We will not let hate rape our souls. Dave writing in. Yes, they want it all. And they have many willing minions in Orange County and elsewhere to help them. And what do you know? It's all okay now to spew forth this vile crap, says the Supremes. These people are the tools of the new fascist, uber-wealthy corporatocracy that flat out owns our government. They create the laws via lobbyists and manufacture cases to be put in front of the Supreme Court. They own the propaganda media to recruit the baggers and booger eaters. It's pretty simple, really. They've been sucked into the machine. They can no longer reason. I would guess they have never been introduced to critical thinking in their budget-slashed schools. Germans didn't exactly stop the rising tide of Nazism by reasoning, waiting it out, and being nice. Yeah, it will implode eventually, but I don't want to see what happens in the meantime. Tell me exactly how we stop all of this by going through the intentionally clogged channels of a totally corrupt system. Says Dave, I'd call you, but I trip over my ginormous tongue when I'm on the phone or in front of the mic. Ah, come on, Dave. And that's the thing. That's the thing, Dave, and everybody. I don't know. I don't know how we stop all this by going through the intentionally clogged channels of a totally corrupt system. Maybe we do it obliquely. Maybe we do it by starting to uncorrupt the system. Maybe the most important thing that we could do toward righting the ship toward getting back toward a semblance of justice in this nation is to remove from office the likes of Tony Scalia, John Roberts, yes, Sammy Alito, even though he got yesterday's decision right, and most assuredly, Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas, who, what? Yeah, took money from Citizens United long before that case was ever discussed or decided. He was a beneficiary of Citizens United and never gave a second thought to taking Citizens United's money or making a decision in their favor. The idea of recusing himself when he had a pecuniary interest and a business relationship with Citizens United, well, that couldn't get in the way of enabling his corporate masters. There's a little good news, too. A little good news. An organization called Protect Our Elections, POE, has filed papers in the state of Missouri calling upon that state's bar to disbar Clarence Thomas for his failure to truthfully complete financial disclosure forms over a period that encompassed 20 years. He said that was just a paperwork error. You know what? When you make it 1 year, okay, you screwed up and you do it right thereafter. But when you do it year after year after year after year after year, you are engaged in unethical conduct. In a bar complaint filed with the Missouri Supreme Court, POE attorney Kevin Zeiss says Thomas committed multiple violations of the Missouri Rules of Professional Conduct. Zeiss asks the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel to take immediate action against Thomas, including disbarment. Now, this was filed in Missouri because that is where he was licensed to practice law. Clarence Thomas became a member of the Missouri Bar in 1974. In 1980, his wife started making money that he refused to report. And Clarence Thomas knows he's in the soup. That's what drove him to make this, to say the least, bizarre comments over the weekend.
And there were perhaps some other reasons, but that was the moment that I saw. The day the full campaign, and I think that you all are going to be, unfortunately, the recipients of the fallout from that. That there's going to be a day when you need these institutions to be credible and to be fully functional to protect your liberties. And that's long after I'm gone, and that could be either short or a long time. But you're younger, and it's still going to be a necessity to protect the liberties that you enjoy now.
Now, see, this is in remarks at the Federalist Society. You're all going to be, unfortunately, the recipients of the fallout from that. That being us liberals who, what he called, seem bent on undermining the Supreme Court. No, 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 Slappy. We're not trying to undermine the Supreme Court. We're trying to preserve it. Because filthy shills like you have just about completely destroyed it. The Supreme Court of the United States has absolutely zero credibility right now. And the only thing that can possibly save it is to disinfect it from the likes of Clarence Thomas, of John Roberts, who lied to the Senate of the United States, of Sammy Alito, who lied to the Senate of the United States, and Fat Tony Scalia, who's been on the take like Clarence Thomas for years. And if we can clean out that den of vermin, then, Dave, maybe that's how we stop all this. Because we uncorrupt a system that is, in fact, totally, at this present point, totally corrupt. And to the phones we go. Or maybe not. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there.
Hey, Susan.
Could I shift the subject just a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah, you hit on it briefly a while back. And may I please beg people to call their Congress critters, email the presidents, and let them know, hey, guys, we've been this route before. This no-fly crap is just crap. We know what it is. It's called the oil companies want that light, sweet crude in Libya.
Well, you know, it was interesting that Secretary of Defense Gates did sort of put the kibosh on the no-fly business by talking about what an incredibly expensive and difficult task it would be, because you can't just and I was surprised, because it was Secretary of Defense Gates, and you know, he's mostly a toady, but he said, you know, it doesn't mean that you put up signs saying nobody fly here. And he talked about the fact that there would have to be massive bombing to take out the Libyan air defenses.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
and there are real misgivings, there are real misgivings in the Congress about that.
Nobody seems to be listening to him.
You don't think?
Not from what I'm hearing. Everybody is basically going on and on and on about how to keep our options open and all this, da-da-da-da-da. And you know what that means.
Yeah, somebody wants to do it.
Yeah, somebody wanted to, well, let's face it. It's called the oil companies, and it's called light sweet crude. Who owns this government? BP, ExxonMobil, Chevron. A couple others. It is basically the energy companies. Koch brothers.
Yeah.
You hear the words light, sweet, crude, and the eyeballs open up wide, and they start panting like they were having sex, and the whole nine yards.
Dollar signs appear in their little pupils, and yeah, oh, I know.
Yeah, and they go into orgasms a little bit, and that's all it is. It's just light, sweet, crude. They don't care about the Libyan people. They could give a rat ass.
No, the oil companies don't. They just care about whether the oil's moving.
They want that crude.
Texas tea, black gold.
Yeah. They don't care who they've got to deal with, you know, what kind of deal they've got to make, or who they've got to make it with, or how many people they've got to sacrifice to get it, or how many pieces of their non-existent soul they've got to shave off to get it. Doesn't matter. Light sweet crude. That's the, well, in the early 1500s, it was, the great cry was, the city of gold.
El Dorado.
The search for El Dorado these days is called a light sweet crude.
And it has a way of popping up in some of the most noxious places.
Yes. And They're all wearing $3,000 suits, flying in on Gulfstreams. And a good proportion of them have American passports, and I gotta tell you, I am profoundly shamed by that.
Oh, yeah. But, well,
I hope
against hope, Susan, that we're not that damn stupid.
Yes. But basically what we have to do is don't wait until they actually start gearing up. Now's the time to start screaming. Don't wait until they start, you know, arming up. Now you start screaming before they start doing it.
Yeah, no kidding.
So get on the phone, people. Work the Congress critters. Scream at the White House. I know it doesn't sound like it does any good, but if you do it by the millions, yeah, they tend to take.
Oh, you want to hear a moment of real cynicism, Susan?
Yeah.
Maybe we need to be calling and saying, I'm a liberal Democrat and I support a no-fly zone. Because if liberal Democrats want it, the history of Barack Obama says he ain't going to do it. I know, that's a little too dangerous.
Yeah, because then they just make it.
And by the way, just in case anybody was wondering, the last thing you want to do is galvanize those people who are yearning to be breathe free, as Emma Lazarus's poem says. Give them an external somebody to hate, namely us.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to be sticking our noses in Libya, saying we support you, we love you. We will recognize you when you get your act together. We wish you well, and then back off. Get out.
Now, that's not to say a little saber rattling might not come in handy.
Yeah.
And that's what all options are on the table business is about.
Yeah, and freezing his aunt.
Because remember, the United States has a history with Libya. You might recall that Ronnie Reagan sent bombers to kill Gaddafi's little baby daughter.
Yes. That was not one of his, well, as far as I'm concerned.
And, Ronnie's, you know, Gaddafi does know that we are willing to slaughter innocents. All he need do is read the news out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, kind of a pot calling the kettle black. We can sit here and say, okay, Gaddafi, we're going to freeze your assets. That way, when everything shakes out, the Libyan people will have their money. You can be indicted for war crimes. Yeah, that's cool. But beyond that, your people are going to have to take care of you themselves.
Well, and I think ultimately they will.
Yeah, and that's what we need to tell them. We cannot stick our noses in there because immediately, this is a tribal society. We stick our noses in there, they're going to turn on us.
Well, I think that's true. That's what I was talking about a couple of minutes ago. You know,
yeah.
Let's keep the focus on Gaddafi.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. We're with you, guys.
Because some of the protesters may actually think they want a no-fly zone, but they're not going to like it when they start pulling bodies out of the rubble.
Exactly.
Because, you know, our smart bombs ain't that smart.
No. Who was the idiot that came up with that term?
Well, Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf, for starters. Look at this guy. He's the luckiest man in Iraq. Ha, ha, ha.
Somebody ought to take him out whooping for coming up with that name of Smart Bomb. Smart Mike.
Yeah.
Well, I won't go into that. But, yeah, just people work the phones. Now's the time to do it. We don't want to go into Libya. Let's face it. if we haven't learned anything in Iraq and Afghanistan, please, God, remember Vietnam. We don't want to do this again. And we can't afford it, even if we wanted to.
Yeah, sorry. That's a compelling statement. Yeah, sorry. We'd love to bomb you, but we can't afford the bombs.
Them bombs are expensive, little puppies. Do you know how much a cruise missile costs?
Actually, yeah.
What?
Yeah, what? A couple million? Yeah, a couple million bucks.
My father used to make them. Sorry about that. But they cost lots and lots of money. B-52s, major money. You don't want to even think about it. The whole thing. We don't want to be using the military because we might break some of it and have to replace it, especially the live portions thereof.
Yeah, if Afghanistan's any indication, our ability to get a no-fly zone right is suspect.
Yeah, and if we go into Libya, then we're going to get all of the other countries in that area
all worked up.
Yeah, let this little fire spread on its own at its own speed. Let the virus take hold, and we'll just sit back and watch. And hopefully it'll jump the pond and come back over here.
It does have a way of doing that.
Yes. Anyway, that's all I had to say. Other than the fact, one very brief thing, it was really nice hearing Tum Thumper.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Me either. That's why I played it. All right, Susan, you have a wonderful evening.
Love to everybody.
All right, take care. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, Barack Obama doesn't really need another war on his hands. Because he's not doing real good with the one he's got. Just a little, well, a little funny. A little funny, just to break up some of the seriousness. Newt Gingrich wants to run for president, right? Newt Gingrich wants to run for president, but he can't seem to find anybody that wants him to run for president. I offer you this moment in comparative hilarity. C-SPAN had one of the loopiest members of the United States Senate on yesterday. They had Tom Coburn, Senator from Oklahoma, on. Now, Tom Coburn is the guy who was, again, I remind you, swept into office in Oklahoma because he said he was concerned about the outbreak of rampant lesbianism in, southeastern Oklahoma middle schools. You gotta wonder he was a doctor. In fact, I think he's a gynecologist. Ew. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but if I was female, no way you could get me to go to a male gynecologist. I'm just sexist that way. That's just... But Tom Coburn is crazier than a sprayed roach. Tom Coburn said, as you will hear, that he doesn't quite think Newt Gingrich is president material. And what does that tell you?
All right. At the chance of irritating you, because I know you can't stand it, but here's the headline in USA Today. Gingrich to explore 2012 GOP run. What are your thoughts on the former speaker and running?
He is undoubtedly the smartest man I've ever met. He is a thinker.
Tom Coburn says Newt Gingrich is the smartest man he's ever met. Oh, God. He's a thinker. He's a thinker. Sits around doing it. You know, I could do some real big thinking. I could be another Lincoln if I only had a brain. Yeah, that kind. Here we go.
Speaker and running.
He is undoubtedly the smartest man I've ever met. He is a thinker. He has great vision. The question to me is, does he have the capability to lead the country? And having served under him in the House, he's probably not one that I would choose to support in a presidential primary.
Because you don't think he has the capability?
No, we need somebody that's soft and wide-eyed, open, and is stable and learned, and is going to consistently bring us together rather than alienate us. You know, what we need
did
is...
Did you say soft at the beginning?
We need somebody whose eye is critical, but is not harsh in their manner. And I don't mean to say he's necessarily harsh, but I'm looking for a leader that can bring us together.
Soft. Not harsh. I guess that lets out Godzilla from Wasilla. Who's he want? Mitt Romney? Maybe Tim Pawlenty? Maybe Haley Barbour's nice and soft the way Tom Coben means when he says soft. What I like about it is that Coburn says we need somebody who's stable. Stable. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's stable as in capable of engaging in a stable relationship, which Newt Gingrich clearly is not. Or maybe there's stable as in not a lunatic, which Newt Gingrich is. So that leads me to this. And by this, I mean, oh my God, this is funny. Newt Gingrich launched his website. It is his exploratory committee for president. Newt Explore 2012. It features a photograph of Newt's suit and tie covered chest and his face from the bridge of his nose down, and about half of his latest wife's face. And behind him, there is a crowd of smiling, shiny faces waving American flags. Oh, gosh, those folks must just love Newt, right? Wrong. Because those folks are from a Getty Images stock file. It happens to be the same stock photo that the late Senator Ted Kennedy used on his website with the caption, "We are the Democratic Majority." All kinds of different colors and ethnicities, and they've all got American flags. Newt Gingrich can't even find a crowd of people who want him to be president. Even a lunatic like Tom Coburn, who admits that Newt is a thinker, won't support him. If you want to put it on your website, by the way, you can also purchase the same photo. It's called Large Crowd of People Holding Stars and Stripes Flags. Poor Newt. Poor little Newtsy. By the way, have you ever noticed that one of these Koch brothers, I'm not sure which is which, looks like it, well, I don't know, if they ever make a movie of his life, he should be played by Michael Caine. Disturbingly like Michael Caine, he looks. So, well, there's a million. Like I said, I'm not feeling so good. But I'm flummoxed by who they're going to run for the presidency. Maybe we'll learn a lot tomorrow when we see Barack Obama standing hand in hand with Jeb Bush on a stage at Miami Central High School in Miami, Florida. Whew, that still gives me the creeps. But I guess I'm easily creeped out. One other thing, by the way. Sports story. Please don't turn away. I heard about this one earlier today, and it just kind of blew my mind. There's a guy. He is a person of color. His name is Brandon Davies. And he played, notice past tense, center on the Brigham Young University basketball team, which had risen as far in the polls as number 3. The last time the Cougars, the non-extinct kind, I suppose, the last time the Cougars were ranked number 3 in the country, Brandon Davies hadn't even been born. Well, it turns out that he has been thrown off the team, at least for the season. He's a winner of the Cougars Academic Excellence Award. He's a smart guy. But he's off the team for a violation of the honor code of BYU. You know this story? Honor code violation? The student-athlete, what'd he do, knock over a liquor store? No, this is BYU. Okay, what'd he do, have a cup of coffee? No, worse. He had sex with his girlfriend. Yeah, he's been thrown off the team for having had sex with his girlfriend. And you wonder why I call them morons instead of Mormons. He may be able to come back next year if he marries the girlfriend. And by the way, without him, after they threw him off the team, BYU faced the University of New Mexico. It was supposed to be a walk. And New Mexico beat them like they owed them money, like BYU owed them money. 84-62. It was never even close without Brandon Davies. Now, I heard about this morning as I was watching the for-profit television. And the people talking about it said, well, you know, I just have to say I admire BYU for sticking to their creed. I mean, you've got an honor code. It's not an honor code if you don't enforce it. But what does something as basically human as sex have to do with honor? He's dishonorable because he had sex with his girlfriend, but it won't be dishonorable if he marries her. It's dishonorable if he's single and has sex, but it won't be dishonorable if they're forced into a loveless marriage. That's some damned weird sense of honor those Mormons have. But here's the thing that just sort of dropped me. He is, as I noted, a person of color. The Mormon church for whom he plays only decided that his skin color was fully human in the 1970s. And I'm sure, with it being that recent, there are still some members of the Mormon church who ain't quite sure. And while he may be fully human to the LDS elders, they don't want him marrying their nice white daughters. Why would, really? Why are there Mormons of color? Has no one told them about what the church, Mormon church says? Maybe not. By the way, on the heels of this hate-filled protest back in February in Orange County, California, get ready for more. CNN reporting, I'm sure you heard about some U.S. airmen being killed in Germany. CNN reporting that the killer, the man who shot and killed two American troops in Germany this past Wednesday, was a, this phrase, recently radicalized Muslims whose aim was to kill American soldiers. Boris Rhein, interior minister of the German state of Hesse, where the shooting took place, said that the suspect seems to have been acting on his own but had spent time on local radical Islamist websites. Apparently that's all it takes to classify you as a radical Islamist now. Arid Uka, 21 years old, from Kosovo, in custody. He is from Mitrovica, Kosovo's interior minister, Bajram Rekhepi, said. Get ready for the right-wingers to have a little hissy. Yeah, Marty, I may have misspoken going back to the basketball case. Marty says, I was going to ask if the girl was white. I'd love to know myself. That's one of those journalism facts that CNN just can't quite get around to give you. Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, I'm guessing that being BYU, the young lady was of the Caucasian persuasion. You know, where are all the white women at? Mind if we dance with your dates? At BYU, yes, they do mind. But then again, at BYU, they mind if you dance. And this isn't it. Well, I hold Mormons in the same esteem that I hold Southern Baptists and Scientologists and all other true believers. But like the Southern Baptist Convention, the Mormon Church has a race problem that is very, very, very well documented. Jim just wrote in, Bob, less than a week ago, Donald Trump announced his possible entry as the 9 Republicans can't cut the mustard. For real, says Jim. I think at this point, whenever we refer to Donald Trump, we have to refer to Donald Trump and that animal that lives on top of his head. Because that is, that's a little furry animal. That's not human hair. Donald Trump. It's more than I can stand to know. We're just kind of all over the place this evening. A little of this and a little of that. You may be interested to know, after last week's stunningly effective takedown of Snot Walker by the Buffalo Beast and Ian Murphy, you may be interested to know that the Repiglicans in Wisconsin didn't take kindly to that. No. You'll recall Ian Murphy called up Snot Walker pretending to be David Koch. I think David's the one who looks like Michael Caine. And said, well, they had that long and friendly little chat. It was a real delight. Of course, it was a prank call, and Walker wound up looking more and more like the idiot he is. Well, in the midst of all the other problems that the Wisconsin legislature has, they did find time to try to turn anybody else who would like to make a jackass out of the governor a criminal. They have moved to criminalize prank phone calls. Senator Mary Lazich, a Repiglican of Waukesha, hope I got that right, Representative Mark Honadell, Repiglican from Milwaukee, well, they jointly authored a bill that would prohibit tricking the call's recipient into believing the caller is someone they are not for malicious purposes. I don't think you could say that Ian Murphy was malicious. Unless you're a Repiglican. In which anything that makes them look like the idiots that they are is by definition malicious. Mary Lazich said, while use of spoofing is said to have some legitimate uses, it can also be used to frighten, harass, and potentially defraud. The bill language forbids a caller from intentionally providing a false phone number and convincing the person receiving the call. Now, how does that work? Wouldn't you love to see that tried? Did he convince you he was David Koch? Oh, yes, he did. And how did he do that? He said, I'm David Koch. And that convinced you? Sure did. Guilty. The bill would make it illegal to defraud, cause harm, or wrongfully obtain any information of value from using a caller identification service to transmit misleading or inaccurate caller identification information. It would also prohibit individuals from masking their voices or providing a fake phone number to the call recipient, said Jason Vick, spokesperson for Representative Mark Honadell. Yeah, that's right. With their state in allegedly deep trouble, Representative Honadell and Senator Lazich, who knows, found time to pass a bill criminalizing the act of making Snotwalker look like the moron that he is. Welcome to Merca, where exposing jackasses is now apparently a crime if the jackass in question happens to be a Repiglican. Marty just sent this in, a comment from CBSSports.com about the BYU basketball player case. In reaction to the BYU suspension case, quote, what gets me is college is supposed to be for higher education, religion is for dummies, the two don't mix. See, these things have resonance beyond what we might otherwise think. And this little moment, I've got a little soundbite for you. God, I am all over creation tonight. Little soundbite for you. This is the lead-in to Jon Stewart's story about Wisconsin. Apparently, the Daily Show spent a big chunk of their show talking about the fascist Bund party that the Repiglicans are having in Wisconsin. You know, with their, but yeah, I don't need to describe it any further. And, of course, it's cute. The segment was called Angry Kurds. Har, har, har. But I just want you to hear, well, you'll see.
I guess. The great Howard Stern will be joining us later on this program. And not feeling though. I'm going to warn you, he's not feeling that well, but we thank him very much for being here. My guess is about something that I did. Or did not do.
Hello,
That is our in the standoff between Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and anyone the state he runs has ever hired. And while there is
before we go forward, it sounds like the Stewart is pretty clearly on the side of the protesters. And I think he makes that clear in the rest of the segment. But I want you to hear this one little bit of, snottiness.
The nearly two-week odor of hundreds of people sleeping there.
Can the news not say ass? Can't they just say, it smells like ass in here? By the way, getting ahead of the next curve.
Assuming for a moment that was actually the smell, human bodies put off a lot of different smells. Because, we're animals. But this is the cuteness that gets under my skin. He goes from for-profit media clips saying that, and which I think is probably a totally bogus BS excuse for trying to run people out of the people's house. He extrapolates from that the building smells like ass. And when I watched this earlier today, at first I went, har har. But then I stopped and re-listened. And I'm not trying to be overly sensitive, but with Radio Rwanda out there saying things like there's mayhem in Madison, and a Radio Rwanda reporter saying, I was assaulted by them, when he wasn't even touched. And the big to-do made by Radio Rwanda over, what's his name, Senator Grothman. Oh, he was threatened. His life was threatened. Pro-union protesters. With that much BS floating around out there in the ether, John Stewart has to say that working people smell like ass? Like I said, maybe I'm overly sensitive on this. But it just rubbed me the wrong way. You remember Apocalypse Now, right? I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. Right? I get it. I would hazard a guess that there was no one in that Capitol building who was worrying about body odors. Can't they just say that the Capitol smells like ass? Thanks, John Stewart. Thanks for saying that people whose very lives are on the brink of being ruined smell like ass. It's off-putting, Not the smell of ass, although that probably is, too. I can't say that. It's off-putting that's... That's somewhere that Stewart felt like he needed to go. Because the last thing that these working people need is to be derided in any way. They've got enough derision coming from Fox without John Stewart helping. And it just struck me as another one of those John Stewart moments of both sides do it. Oh, look, we better make some fun of the people who are about to have their lives ruined. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just completely wrong. Yes, as in that, Jim. As in that. Oh, by the way, I mentioned Newt Gingrich a few minutes ago. And you won't be seeing him as a commentator on Fox anymore for a while with the forming of his exploratory committee. He's been suspended. The Fox News Channel said Wednesday that it had suspended the contracts of two employees, Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, who are considering running for president. Mr. Gingrich and Mr. Santorum are both Fox News contributors. By suspending the two men, Fox appears to be addressing long-standing questions about how to handle pundits who are contemplating political bids. Brett Baer said the suspension is effective for 60 days, and then on May 1st, their contracts will be terminated unless they notify Fox that they are not running for president. Is just a question. This is the first thing I thought of. Is Mike Huckabee still showing up on Fox? I don't know because I don't watch it. How about Mussolini? Wasn't she an official Fox commentator? If they're still on Fox, is that because they haven't formed their exploratory committees yet? Which probably means they're smarter than Newt and the Santorum. You can look up the meaning of the word. Put together. Because if they're continuing to talk on Fox, they're continuing to get exposure, whereas Nutsi and Santorum are just into the ether. But you know what? It's a zoo. Like you don't know it. It's a zoo at Fox. And chief among the attractions there is attack blonde Megyn Kelly. Now, you know what happened in Canada recently, right? The Canadian government announced last week that they're not going to tolerate efforts by right-wing Prime Minister Stephen Harper to repeal a law in Canada. Imagine wanting to repeal this law. Listen, Canada has a radio act. And I guess it applies to TV as well. And that radio act requires, quote, a licensor may not broadcast any false or misleading news. As a consequence, Fox literally has not been able to get into Canada to broadcast. In other words, Fox can't broadcast unless it is allowed to openly and patently lie. And when the regulators announced that they would not tolerate Stephen Harper's attempts to repeal the law that forbids lying, well, that put an end to Rupert Murdoch's hopes of getting his right-wing hooks into Canada. If you're among the Canadian members of the Horn audience, I suggest that you get a letter or an email out right away